6/18 is what I have. State fire marshal. He didn't look very surprised.
And you jumped up and ran over him and said, "I'm getting out of here."
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Allison.
It's fine.
Yep. We're going to call to order the meeting on the Senate Committee on Rural Communities and Economic Development. Today is May 7th, 2013. And we're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3023. And we have with us Representative Bailey, Senator Edwards, and Representative Richardson. And you want to give a short explanation, and then we'll get going.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3023 has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. It expands the mission of the Fujian?
Fujian.
Fujian? I knew I was going to get that one. Sister State Committee to include all provinces of the People's Republic of China. And it changes the name to Oregon China Sister State Committee to reflect this expanded mission.
Very good.
Thank you. I've been asked to go first. Mr. Chair, members of this committee, in the past decade, our relationship with China has dramatically increased and has improved, and they're one of our number-one export destinations for Oregon goods and services. As we've had success, there's been greater interest in China about having relationships with Oregon. We had the first, maybe the only, legislative committee honoring a sister state relationship that Oregon has with Fujian province. But now we have other areas that would like to have similar relationships with us, but they're not in that province. And so by making the change in the name and what we're doing, what is being attempted with this bill, we are essentially enabling the opportunity for other locations besides Fujian province to enter into agreements with Oregon and to have greater contact and preferences shown for Oregon goods and services, which will be good for our economic benefit. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Chris Edwards, State Senator from Eugene, Oregon, representing much of Eugene and Junction City. I would simply support all the comments made by Representative Richardson. Don't have a whole lot else to add. It's a pretty simple and straightforward bill that really does reflect the evolving relationship between Oregon and not just Fujian province, but all of China. And so I'd support this bill. And if there are any amendments to the bill, I'd like to see them before. I heard some questions. Somebody asked me a question, and I said, "No." And then they said, "Okay."
So
if there are any amendments to the bill, I'd like to know about it.
The third person can actually have his testimony in Chinese if he wants.
Chair Rubble, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jules Bailey, honored to represent House District 42. A couple of other points about this bill that I'd like to add. First, Representative Richardson is being remarkably humble in his introduction of this bill. If anything, this bill is a celebration, and it's a celebration of all the progress that we've made in our economic relationship with China over the past decade. And the representative has been at the center of those efforts. And the fact that we have other areas of China that are looking to create economic ties with the state of Oregon, for example, the city of Tianjin through their port is interested in shipping Oregon goods and goods also from elsewhere in the United States through Oregon because of the relationship with Oregon. That really, I think, speaks to a lot of the work that has been done to build those ties through the many delegations that have gone over. I should also mention that, lest this be misconstrued as perhaps a slight to the province of Fujian, we understand from them that they are fine with this change. They understand it, and my guess is that they probably see themselves as helping to pioneer this relationship that has grown into something more than it is. So we are not slighting them in any way by changing this name. We are, in fact, honoring their foundational relationship in building these economic ties.
Any questions for this group?
Yes.
Senator Burnett.
Thank you. And I want to thank Representative Richardson as well for leading all these delegations, of which both of us actually were honored to attend. And I guess my question is, do you get at all concerned that by expanding it out so much that it might actually work against us by kind of diluting the focus that we have now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Burdick, there will be no automatic expansions as a result of this. This merely gives the opportunity to expand beyond just Fujian province, and whether or not we would actually go through the expansion process would have to be approved through our own channels. The port of Tianjin, which is it's a city that actually has provincial status. It's so large and so progressive, and so it actually responds directly to Beijing like a province does. They have come three times to Southern Oregon's event that we have in June, and they've been very impressed with what we've with what we have shown them about Oregon. They have been very impressed with the reception they've had, and they've expressed a desire to reciprocate. And so because they're such a huge port, and any relationship that they have that would expand the utilization of the port of Portland would be extremely valuable for our economy in the northern part of the state. But we'd be very careful not to just expand this in a way that would be detrimental to anyone else that's worked with us, especially the Fujian province.
And Mr. Chair, to follow up, thanks to your delegation, I've actually been to Tianjin, which I had not actually heard of before, and has four times the population of Oregon, 13 million people, as I recall. And I certainly commend the effort. But my follow-up question is, would the intent be to name specific areas in the future as sister state, or just develop the relationship with them and on a case-by-case basis without basically singling them out as we have singled out Fujian province?
Mr. Chair, Senator Burdick, my understanding of what the intent would be to not focus specifically on named entities or organizations or groups or geographical locations over there, but merely have the committee be Oregon-China so that we could entertain the idea of having additional relationships over there if it was mutually beneficial for Oregon and the other location.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I definitely agree that Tianjin is a prime candidate.
We did sign an agreement with them last time. I actually got to be part of the signing ceremony, and we do have a relationship with Tianjin.
Oh, good. That must have been
part of the whole reason for doing this stuff is that we have already begun those relationships. And we met with people from, is it Outer Mongolia? Yeah, that we met with in Inner Mongolia. And we've talked to them, and we've talked to some national park relationships. We were in this last time with Representative Richardson brought some stuff with Crater Lake. And we went to a part of Shangri-La that has a park that's very special to them, and we thought about making sister relationships in those ways too. So
that's great. And of course, I think definitely that China can benefit from an expanded market for Oregon wine.
I had dinner last night with one of those who is exporting to China and working on those kinds of relationships with Oregon. So.
Yes. And Mr. Chair, I just wanted to add that this while this change would allow us to add, I think, more formality to the opportunities that we are already seeking out. I mean, we're already looking at strategic assets of the state of Oregon, strategic industry sectors, things that where Oregon really shines, and looking where in China can we form those mutually beneficial relationships that help us grow our economy here. And those certainly do not all exist within Fujian province. And so this change simply allows us to formalize what we've already strategically been doing. So
very good. Any other questions for this group? Thank you very much for coming and bringing forth this amendment.
Thank you
very much.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak to Senate House Bill 3023? Seeing none, we're going to close the public hearing. We're going to open a work session on House Bill 3023. Senator Boettcher.
And when he finds his glasses, as usual. Chair Roblin, I move House Bill 3023 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Boettcher moves House Bill 3023 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? No move. Senator, would you like to, Edwards, would you like to carry this bill?
I would love to, unless the chair.
No, I think you've been with this relationship a little longer. I would be glad, honored to have you do it. So we'll help Senator Edwards. Thank you. We're going to close the work session on House Bill 3023. We're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2393. And Representative Clem can come up. And Ivan, if you wanted to come up. We'll see. And a short explanation of our bill from our committee administrator.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2393A has no revenue impact, and it also has a minimal fiscal impact. We did receive some written testimony that's available on OLIS, and this bill allows establishments slaughtering, processing, or selling up to 1,000 poultry to be established as outright permitted use on exclusive farm use land. It limits the building floor area for such purposes to 10,000 square feet, and it requires compliance with siting standards.
With that, whoever wants to go, well, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm members of the committee for the record. My name is Brian Clem. I'm the state representative for Salem here in District 21. And just as a matter of note on the last bill, for those of you who know my wife, Carol, her mother was born in Tianjin. That's her home, her birthplace. And during our first legislative trip to China that I was able to attend, which was 2009, Carol's mom went with us, and she returned to her birthplace for the first time in 63 years and got to see it.
She must have been so shocked.
It was pretty neat. Yeah, she recognized one park that we saw maybe, and otherwise it's totally changed.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Okay, poultry. So in 2011, we passed an allowance for smaller poultry operators to take advantage of a federal exemption from USDA normal food inspection regime, where up to 1,000 birds could be slaughtered and sold off your property without having to pay to have a USDA inspector present the entire time. And this was kind of a cottage industry allowance by the feds that many states had adopted. Oregon had not. So we adopted that in 2011, became law. Then we ran into a land use issue, though, which was it wasn't clear that even though now you could do this, you could do it without getting a conditional use permit and going through a process that then required a fairly large fee. So this is dealing with the land use issue, where it's from a food safety standpoint and a kind of a health standpoint, it's allowed, but the land use process wasn't clear, and this just places clearly in the land use statutes that it is an outright use, therefore not required to go get the land use permissions and the fees, because it's clearly a farming activity or sometimes what we call commercial activity in conjunction with a farm use. It could even be defined as that. This is a clear solution just to place it right in the sub one outright use area, and then nobody will be assessed a fee and having to get a permit and things for something that's clearly agricultural related.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, for the record, Ivan Molesky with Friends of Family Farmers, based in Molalla, Oregon. As Representative Clem said, this is really a kind of to build on legislation that was passed overwhelmingly by the 2011 legislature to open up new markets for small-scale poultry producers. These are folks who raise, slaughter, and then do on-farm sales of up to 1,000 birds per year. That could be turkeys, you know, ducks, chicken, and other poultry. The Oregon Department of Agriculture did go through rulemaking to make sure that that they had adopted the rules that would be necessary for that to develop. And the issue that's arisen is just we need to have some clarity that this is an outright permitted use under the land use system, so that as folks do this, small operators around the state, they're not facing uncertainty around potential fees or time-consuming conditional use permits. So Again, we think this bill really just builds on the legislature's previous intent to open up this economic opportunity across rural Oregon. I will say, particularly in parts of eastern Oregon and southwest Oregon, licensed slaughter facilities are few and far between. We have a little bit better here in the Willamette Valley, but when you're far away from any slaughter facility, it becomes very uneconomical. And so not only is this a way to create economic activity in rural Oregon, it provides an opportunity for local healthy food for people across in all parts of the state as well. So I'll just flag that some of the testimony that was submitted online in support from the Oregon Farmers Market Association, from the OSU, Professor Lauren Gwynn with the OSU Small Farms Program that provides technical assistance to small producers. Oftentimes when you're operating at this scale, you don't need to build a brick and mortar facility. You're doing it in a temporary structures or open air. The Oregon Grows Partnership, which is an alliance of farm, rural development, local food and food security organizations across the state that supports this. Thousand Friends of Oregon, which looks at the land use system, supports this bill. And I know you've gotten at least one letter from a farmer that's operating under the Thousand Bird as well, supportive of this. So thanks for your time today. And I know that Lauren Gwynn is available by phone if you had any technical questions at 3:30. She's the professor at OSU that provides technical assistance to folks on this issue. Thank you.
Questions? I guess my question is, when they're doing slaughter, are they picking them too, taking the feathers and all of that at the same time? In this little processing, I mean, are they actually processing the whole bird and then you're getting at the end of that?
That's correct, Senator Roblin. So, you know, what's happening on the farm is you're raising the birds, you're actually doing the slaughter, which is the kill, and then you're doing the butchering, which is the plucking of the feathers. And there's some automated machines that make that really quite easy and quick. It's time consuming if you're doing it all by hand. That typically involves a scald where you dip it in the dead animal bird in scalding hot water, and then you do the actual evisceration, and then you get it quickly on ice and cold water as fast as you can, and you're able to sell that directly to consumers. So again, these are on-farm sales. You're not now distributing to stores or restaurants. This is something where you're operating on a small enough scale that folks are able to inspect. Your customers are able to inspect your operation with their very eyes.
Question is, Senator Bartschuk.
You call it disarration, we call it dressing a chicken, but you know, it's rural Oregon and we'll take any jobs in rural Oregon.
Yep. Any other questions? And I don't think there's any real technical ones that we need, so I think we're pretty good.
I am worried about the last, if you look at the top, there's a co-sponsor, the very last name, and I'm worried about his vote today.
I know.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
And I would add, I did want to thank Representative Clem for his leadership and both Senators Roblin, Prozanski, and also Senator Olson and Boquist for sponsoring this. It's a bipartisan bill, and I think we're glad to have good support. So thank you.
I have one comment.
Yes, please.
Thank you. I would also like to thank Representative Clem for letting the bison bill go forward and adding his assistance. Appreciated that.
Thank you, Madam. Not Madam Chair. Mr. Chair, Senator Close, I did have to show up in the committee where that bill is to make sure it didn't get. It's a wide relating clause, as you know.
Yes.
So I had to go and pay attention to make sure nothing got added to it, but nothing did. Another bill later, maybe something was tried, but not on that one. So I'm paying attention to it.
I appreciate that, and you're now a Buffalo guy, and I'm no longer a Buffalo gal.
But it's Cowboy Day now.
Somebody gave me a bison when he left the house.
I did. It's in my office now.
Gave
him a bison. We had a bison bill a while back.
It's prophetic.
Yeah. Somebody also suspended me from school and high school and a few other things. I may have deserved that one.
You might have. You never know.
Yeah. Luckily, it's private. Student
exactly.
Are private.
Exactly.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you both for being here. We probably are not going to take action until Prozanski gets back because we found it was longer to go about letting them vote later than it was just to wait. So. But I anticipate this bill will get through today.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we're going to close our public hearing on House Bill 2393A, and we're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2829. We'll have a short explanation. And Mike, come on up with anybody you want to bring.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2829 has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact for both the original measure as well as the Dash 1 amendment. And this bill allows county to comply with posting requirements by publishing a monthly schedule of expenditures and county actions at county courthouse, library, bulletin boards, or on the internet. It also allows the county to post notice of availability of this information in the newspaper, on the internet, or both. The proposed -1 amendment removes an unnecessary phrase "at the election of the county," just for readability and clarity purposes.
Thank you, Chair Roblin, members of the committee. Mike Eliason with the Association of Oregon Counties with me, that I'll turn it over to in a moment, is Marion County Treasurer Lori Steele. This bill comes from the Government Efficiency Task Force, which went on during the interim, 2011-12 interim, chaired by Nancy Nathanson. Within that task force, there was a subcommittee on general government that was chaired by Greg Wolf of the governor's office, and I believe Michael Jordan, Kate Brown, some other folks were on that as well. What we were looking for were, I guess, could be best termed low-hanging fruit efficiencies, not major transformations in government, but issues that where processes have become outdated, and whether they needed to be repealed or reorganized or looked at in some way. We were looking at issues like that. This issue is one of the issues that that committee worked on, and it simply has to do with counties being the only local government that are required to post in libraries and at the courthouse an expenditure list each month of all expenditures over $500. Turns out to be a lot of paper. Have to put a little ad in the paper directing folks to libraries or the courthouse. And I surveyed the county clerks, and I believe you, Lori, surveyed the county treasurers. At least from the county clerks, nobody in anyone's recollection over 25 years had ever received an inquiry from the public over this list at the library. So it started to be discussed whether it might be best to, in this day and age, just put the list on the internet, or at least give counties the option to do that. There actually are some that would prefer to continue to publish at the library, but add an option for that. So we brought this bill forward. It passed the House, I believe, with 59 yes votes. And we bring this bill to you now and urge your support.
Good afternoon, Senator Roblin, members of the committee. I'm Lori Steele. I am the county treasurer for Marion County, but I also serve as the legislative chair for the Oregon Association of County Treasurers. And we've also spent a lot of time looking at statutes that have that indicate there's something the treasurers ought to be doing in all of the counties, and we try to be consistent county to county. This is one of the statutes that we have been keeping an eye on for quite a long time and hoping for some changes. We believe that we better serve our citizens by having the ability to post this information on the internet in some cases rather than the courthouse or a county library. And in Marion County, we have over 20 cities. We have several libraries, and our report averages almost 40 pages in length. And between our testimony before the House committee and here, I took a tour of a couple of our libraries in Marion County, and I wasn't able to find the report, the 40-page report that we send, posted anywhere in the library, even though we do mail it to them each month. So we're hoping to not only increase our own efficiencies by having this on the internet where we post most of our other financial information, but by making it more accessible to our citizens that often go to the internet to look for information. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
And I know that the amendment came from our office when we were looking at it, and you looked it over. I looked it over again to make sure I feel it's doing the same thing. And as I read it, the comma becomes an or, and so it's or. So it's basically saying if the county chooses, they can do any one of three things. They can post it in the paper, they can post it on the internet, or they could do both if they want. And the library is still an option as well.
It is. And if I may, we actually did have one county that wanted to have the ability to continue to post the report in the courthouse and the library because they don't have a lot of IT staff on hand. So posting it on the internet for them would have been more of a hardship. So they wanted to make sure they continued to have the ability to post the hard copy.
And there's probably wasn't 40 pages.
There's this one page.
It's just easier to post.
And
the nail, go through your 40-page one is tough to get into the wall.
If I could add one thing, we had definitely had extensive conversations with the Oregon Newspaper Publishers Association, and they testified on the House side that they are neutral on the bill, and follow-up conversations with them leading up to this hearing indicated that's still where they are. So to best of our knowledge, there's no opposition, no concerns with the bill that we're aware of at this point.
And it was very good that you mentioned that for Senator Burdick in particular. Being the newspaper person that she is.
Yeah, I'm waiting for OMPA to come storming through the door,
exactly.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
Senator. Can I make one comment? I have no problem with this bill, but I think I'd like to make the point that you do need to be careful with things like newspapers, because those are private businesses that employ people in our communities, also paper mills, and when you eliminate all paper, it does eliminate jobs, and that can really hurt a rural community, so. Yeah.
And I think that's why they checked with everybody, because they do a lot of their postings in the newspaper.
Right. If I may, Chair Roblin and Senator Close, we are sensitive to that, and we wanted to keep the option for the newspaper. We surveyed counties on what they would pay right now monthly to post. They don't post the report in the newspaper, but just a blurb, a little short blurb saying, hey, you can go to the library, you can go to the courthouse to find it. It's a fairly negligible cost, and I think that's why the ONPA ended up being neutral on the bill.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions then? Is there anyone else who would like to speak to House Bill 2829? I saw Gil back there. I don't know if he was excited. Okay. So we're going to close our public hearing on House Bill 2829. And so we might as well do the two, and if he doesn't come back, we'll...
He's excused. There.
That's right. He is excused. So with that, either one, we'll open a work session on... We'll go with 2393A. Senator Bertschinger.
Chair Roblin, I move the A engrossed version of House Bill 2393A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Bertschinger moves the A engrossed version of House Bill 2393A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? Adopted, and Senator Przanski is excused. Let's see. I will carry this one. I'm on this bill, so I'll carry 2393A. We're going to close the work session on 2393A. We're going to open a work session on 2829. Senator Bertschinger.
Forget the
round. Oh, amendment first, yes.
Yes. Chair Roblin, I move to adopt the -1 amendment dated 5-6-2013.
Senator Bertschinger moves to adopt the -1 amendments dated 5-6-13. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? It is adopted.
Chair Roblin, I move House Bill 2829 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Bertschinger moves House Bill 2829 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? Seeing none, it is adopted. It is moved to the floor. And Senator Przanski was excused again. And who is there anyone who would like to carry this bill?
Okay.
Senator Close will be the carrier of the bill. With that, we'll close our work session on House Bill 2829. I don't think I have any more business for today. I appreciate all your work, and I will adjourn the meeting of the Senate Committee on Rural Communities and Economic Development. Thank you very much.
You can have